What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This shooter appeared in a commercial for a major company that I think a lot of people don't hold in high regards for a variety of reasons. We will explain. And also another person losing their job for posting things on social media about Donald Trump and the assassination that maybe they should have not posted. We'll get to all of that coming up. But right now, let's get to the news. It is time for a Dawn Stensland Big 3 at 9.
It's the Big 3 at 9 on Kale & Company.
And Big 3 at 9 on a day where it'll feel like 105 degrees and we could set some new records, sponsored by Budget Blinds, for our Big 3. Let's take you to 1 year ago. What was the lead story 1 year ago today? The lead story was after that huge summer storm stalled over part of our region, Upper Makefield especially, dropping 6 inches of rain in just 2 hours, overwhelming the banks of beautiful waterways. And that flooding was worse, of course, in a roughly 1 mile stretch along Washington Crossing Road, that state route 532, I should say. 19 people, a dog named Coda, they were swept away. These individuals were in their vehicles and this huge wall of water just appeared, crashed down on them at that steep embankments and consumed that area. 11 people entered the debris-filled, fast-moving water. We know now 7 died, despite the efforts that were initially a rescue attempt and then recovery as the days went on. Hundreds of first responders. You remember, we spent about a week and a half covering this major story that made national news.
Was this the one where the mom and the newborn baby got swept away and they were ultimately found in the Delaware?
The little boy, the youngest victim, Conrad, right? His body was never found.
Okay.
The youngest.
And they were Bucks County, right?
Yeah. The 9-month-old baby was Conrad, and then 2-year-old Matilda also, you know, and then the mom, 32-year-old Katie. Remember, they were visiting. They were in the vehicle and visiting the grandparents.
I remember that. Yeah.
But it just was such a tragedy and consumed coverage. How could this happen? And initially, remember, some of the news media coming out saying, remember, don't go on the road in a storm. And the first responders even were quick to come out and say, hey, this thing happened so quickly that when people went out on the roadway, there wasn't a heavy rain. And it happened so suddenly. And so they've worked on, you know, I know that there were appropriations, budgetary issues, money that they want to fix this area so that that can never happen again, as well as resources dedicated to retraining. I know an all-terrain vehicle. So much has gone into the efforts. But last night, this week, many commemorations remembering the lives of those lost in that horrific storm.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah.
Hard to believe it's been a year. Time flies.
Well, this is true. It seems like longer ago, I think, to your point, because of the news cycle that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But for the community and the first responders coming together in an evening of prayer, and the memorial was organized and held by at the Crossing Church, which, remember, was that initial command post for the first responders. And so it was a beautiful service they held.
Yeah.
As they were thanking first responders too for all they were exhausted working around the clock.
Yeah.
So efforts continue, however, for the training and for fixing the area roadways.
Okay.
So in that one, as we think about, and you had mentioned this, Greg Stocker, talking about the Truth Social post of one Donald J. Trump, former president, saying that especially given the, quote, family history of the Kennedy family, urging the Biden administration to give RFK Jr. that Secret Service protection, which now is going to happen. And comes, I guess it begins today on the 25-year commemoration of the death of then 38-year-old John F. Kennedy Jr. died in that plane crash all these 25 years ago today, piloting the crashed plane off the coast of Martha's Vineyard, July 16th, 1999, also killing his wife, Carolyn Bessette, and her sister, Lauren. And they, Carolyn was 33, Lauren was 34.
So, in a nutshell, we have the Biden administration that denied Kennedy's Secret Service protection request, and Donald Trump ends up getting shot in the ear on the same day that both Dr. Jill and Kamala have Secret Service protection elsewhere at events.
All right. All right.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
This is true.
Just pointing out the facts.
Number three, on a fun summer story, you know, baseball, Alec Bohm, wow. I mean, just very exciting.
Did he go on to win? I fell asleep. I know he was in the semifinals. Did he even make it to the finals?
As and also Bryce Harper, right? Such as, like, they all the headlines are.
Well, I know even, Twitter was going nuts for Bohm last night.
Yeah, that he was just phenomenal. Just incredible. I don't know. I always worry that they're gonna
hurt themselves
and get exhausted.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and it's
why
like the freaking All Stars.
Well, they
stuff.
Now get like a break. You get to pause the clock and towel off and drink some Gatorade. My God,
society. You hate how soft society is becoming, don't you?
Home run. The guy, you're getting 75 mile an hour lobs. I mean, those balls are coming in softer than an interview on MSNBC to a Democrat. And we got to take a timeout.
Wasn't sure where you're going with that one, but okay.
You like how I stuck the landing?
It was good.
Yeah.
So the headline is Alec Bohm this morning, he bows out in the semifinals of the Home Run Derby to the eventual winner, who is Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah, he's like an electric vehicle. He needed another charge. He ran out of juice.
Outfield, so Hernandez defeating Bohm in a swing-off, 16-15, blah-blah-blah. See, I don't even look at I don't care what the score is. I just look how fabulous our guys look.
All I want is a World Series.
Yeah. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, poor sports guys down the hall. This is the week of the year you definitely take vacation in that format, because when baseball goes on the All Star break, there ain't nothing to talk about. Look at us; we can't even get the classified documents.
It's true. It's 10 after 9 in the morning.
All right.
Eat your heart out, WIP.
I'm actually glad that Bohm left the ballpark. I mean, he left; didn't even talk to reporters. Like, he just is out of there. Good rest for us.
Yep.
Go right. Home.
Get ready for when the games actually matter again in 4 days.
Just close here, Alec Bohm. Would you please just close your motorized budget blinds? Get a good rest.
Look at you.
As we are sponsored by Budget Blinds, a summer is a great time. Brighten up the window treatments in your home. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blind shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization.
Yeah.
Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation. The only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. And Greg Stocker has Budget Blinds in his home.
The motorization is key, man. Take that little remote control and zzz, goes closed. Amazing. Budget blinds. I'm a capitalist and a corporate whore. I love Budget Blinds. Sorry.
Look how excited he gets.
No, I am. I do. I like the blinds in my home. Anyway, sorry. Classified documents, Nick Cale.
Yeah, okay, I thought maybe you were going to add something real quick there, but yeah, we can get to that now. So, pretty wild that, you know, when we think about the weaponization of government against Trump, we got to go back to March of 2023 when this all started with the first indictment of Alvin Bragg. And here we are now, what, 16 months later, and, you know, across the board, it's, I mean, yes, okay, Trump was found guilty, 34 felonies. I mean, but nobody really cares about it. You know, $130,000, you know, the appeals process. But we covered, you know, the Jack Smith, you know, having basically a leg chopped out with Fisher v. Missouri in that free speech case, presidential immunity, January 6th on hold, the Georgia election interference case, the Fannie Willis case, that being on hold. And now Eileen Cannon, who, look, if we're being completely fair, she is far more favorable to Trump as a Trump-appointed judge than Juan Merchan and the other character, what's his name, Engamoron, as Dawn calls him, in New York. But a lot of legal scholars are saying that what Eileen Cannon did yesterday has sound strong, rationalized, reasonable, legal precedent and logic here. So I gave you a little bit of it in the big take and kind of like a smorgasbord big take this morning, but Eileen Cannon has now officially dismissed the case against Trump and the handling of classified documents. He pleaded not guilty, as we know, to all 37 felony counts from Jack Smith's probe, including the willful retention of national defense information, conspiracy to obstruct justice, and false statements. Eileen Cannon says the following. Former President Trump's motion to dismiss indictment based on unlawful appointment and funding of special counsel Jack Smith is granted in accordance with this order, she wrote in her ruling on Monday. The superseding indictment is dismissed because Jack Smith's appointment violates the appointments clause of the United States Constitution. Now, I would have to imagine, and we'll give you a few other excerpts and some clips from what she said and a few quotes, but you're Jack Smith. You're the special counsel. You're a prosecutor going after the former president of the United States. And it's pretty clear as day in the Constitution that he does not have the authority to be doing this. And this can't be handled the way it was handled. It had to come down from Congress, which we know it didn't because Republicans control Congress. So if you take a step back now and you look at where Jack Smith stands, there, I'll be completely honest, and, you know, look, I could be dead wrong, and we could have new developments tomorrow, for all I know. I don't see anything else playing out of importance or relevance in any of these cases against Donald Trump before November 5th. I mean, and I'm not just saying none of these will be resolved before November 5th. I don't think we're going to see anything other than maybe a few appellate issues that are brought up from either Trump or from the prosecution, and of course Jack Smith's office is going to appeal this. But if it is all about, if the whole end game is just delay, 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 mission accomplished for Donald Trump. But when you look at this, I mean, I can't imagine upon appeal, Dawn, this being looked at and in the appellate level and somebody coming back and saying Eileen Cannon has ruled incorrectly here because this is clearly a violation of the Constitution. You don't need to have a law degree to figure this one out. And I think it just goes to speak volumes to not only the extent to which they want to go after Trump on some of these cases, but how they wanted to expedite these so quick and get them into the media, into the spotlight, and, oh, by the way, hope to get a conviction before the election. Again, I don't really think they care one way or the other whether or not Trump ends up in jail. I think they would love for him to be in jail.
Oh, yeah.
But they wanted the labeling of convicted felon. Mm-hmm. This was the 2020 version of election interference by branding somebody as a convicted felon. And yes, I get it. Eileen Cannon is a Trump appointee. Does she have some favoritism? It's quite possible. We know the disdain for the other judges that they had for Trump. But from everybody I have read, from Turley, who, look, he was wrong. I mean, Jonathan Turley, as much as I like him, and I like the fact that he breaks it down at a entry level for the common person, myself included, to understand and process all this legal jargon and minutia. And he was wrong on the Alvin Bragg case. Andy McCarthy was wrong. Ellie Honing was wrong. Everybody that had a legal opinion that was not biased or biased thought that that was going to be a not guilty or a hung jury.
Greg Stocker was right, though.
Greg Stocker was right.
Thank you
Greg
much.
Stocker School of Law.
That's right. Exactly.
Get a 3-year degree in two overnights. But this was a good. This is another. So you think about the stretch, and it's not. Nobody's going to sit here and say, you know, getting your part of your ear blown off is a good thing. But Trump is lucky to be alive, and now the law on his side in this case. Pretty good stretch for Mr. Trump.
Yeah, and I think the word is that Jack Smith is preparing for an appeal, and so will it go back to the Supreme Court? But with this SCOTUS ruling that we saw that clarified presidential immunity and where that lies, I think all these cases get thrown out. Now, will they try to get a laser focus answer on certain items? Perhaps. Will it go back to SCOTUS? Perhaps. But at the end of the day, to your point, there's no way that's going to happen prior to November 5th.
Yeah, I would agree. And one other quote that I think really stands out to show where Eileen Cannon is opining from the Constitution and how Jack Smith obviously made a big no-no She says, quote, in the end, it seems the executive's growing comfort in appointing regulatory special counsels in the more recent era has followed an ad hoc pattern with little judicial scrutiny. I think that sentence mm-hmm. speaks volumes.
Yes.
And if we think about documents right now, you had the Robert Hur investigation where he arrives at the conclusion Joe Biden is not fit to stand trial. Remarkably, he's fit to serve as president, yet he can't serve and sit on his own trial for what he did where he had no right to retain classified documents. And also, Trump had argued in part with his legal defense that he was protected under the Presidential Records Act. But it doesn't even come down to that, because clearly Eileen Cannon is saying Jack Smith made a mistake and I'm tossing this out. So good day for Donald Trump indeed.
Yeah, the point, you know, you think about it, that congressional approval should happen for things like war, budgets, and these special counsels. But as far as Judge Cannon, to me, she had no other choice but to rule as she did because of the recent Supreme Court ruling. So, yes, I think that don't we all want checks and balances? Don't we want...
That's the whole point.
Right? Elected officials and not Joe Biden. And, you know, that's what she's basically yeah. saying. The way to prevent this whole thing from persecution is so that Joe Biden can't point a finger, or any future president,
right.
whether it's Donald Trump moving forward next year. So it protects all of us, and it protects every president.
Yeah,
I think.
Donald Trump's not the threat to democracy. Those that are in office that try to take power and be judge, jury, and executioner, and then point the DOJ in the direction of your political rival, that's the whole point of checks and balances.
Yeah.
So nobody's ego gets out of control, and next thing you know, we devolve into a country where we have dictators or kings or this or that. The people hold the power, which, again, you go back to the threat to democracy. So you have the far left Democrats. They want to take Trump off the ballot on the Republican side, despite him being the winner of the Republican primary. And now they want to kick Joe off, as bad as he is. The Democrats voted in the primary and said, no, we want Joe. Yet they want to have two totally new combatants in the ring in this November 5th election, which I'm actually having flashbacks to when Stocker said he could see it being, we get to the point where it plays out where it's not even Biden versus Trump. I mean, I think now at this point it will be Biden versus Trump, but, you know, a few millimeters, Trump's out of the equation. And if the Democrats had a good backup, Biden would be out of the equation. Yet here we are, and we're going to run it back 4 years later.
Yeah, but at this point, do you want to be the person, unless it's Kamala? Let's say Joe Biden says, due to health reasons, I'm stepping down. I don't think Josh Shapiro, who spoke over the weekend and wanted to look presidential, right? Nobody who wants to run in 2028, and I would submit to you, Shapiro started his 2028 launch over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I just think nobody who wants to run in 2028 would go now and say, yeah, I'll be on the top of the ticket and anger everybody, especially angering everybody who feels that they're disrespecting Kamala.
Right. Well, and think about this, too. Now that J.D. Vance is in the equation, think about the Veep debate. You could have J.D. Vance against Kamala Harris. And what if, and I don't think it's a what if, it's almost a certainty, I think J.D. Vance would crush her in a debate. But what if Biden gets yanked and then Kamala Harris has to go up against Trump after J.D. Vance eviscerated her in a debate? She would be dead on arrival, damaged goods, before she even gets into the ring with Donald Trump as his number two picks her apart. So there you go.
By the way, you know, you mentioned the Hur. Like, there are so many things that because of the waves of news and breaking news. But you think about it, it was, I think, 4 or 5 days ago. The House is still trying to get those Hur tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they were not successful, and because what did they want? The one day they wanted to fine Merrick Garland, like, I don't know, $10,000 a day. That didn't work.
No.
But they're still trying to get those tapes. Can you even imagine if those tapes do come out now?
It's hard to believe they could be worse than anything I've ever seen from Biden in public. But sadly, I think they might be, which is why they're burying him. So.
Or, to your point, what if the Democrats say, give him up?
Well, I wouldn't put that.
You know what I mean?
Him. Yeah.
Let's try Kamala.
Yeah, they trotted them out in a debate and left them out to dry. 19 days later, we're still talking about that debate performance. Thank you, Lester Holt.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do.
What's on the cut sheet, part new on this Tuesday, sponsored by Discover Lancaster. Discover more of Lancaster with Discover Lancaster's Farm Adventure Trail. Indulge in fresh farm-to-table dining, explore historic farm attractions, and befriend baby animals. Just a 90-minute drive from Philadelphia. Visit discoverlancaster.com to plan your getaway. That's discoverlancaster.com. So, last night, Dawn mentioned the Home Run Derby. Last night, the Home Run Derby, the national anthem for the Home Run Derby was sung by, thank you, Phil Almquist, for this, Ingrid Andres, she's a country singer, which is why none of us on the show have heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
So she delivered the national anthem last night in what some are saying might be the worst rendition of the national anthem ever.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to play this, and you can see the players for the Home Run Derby last night kind of be like, they're kind of giggling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is cut 32, Phil, go.
With broad stripes and bright stars,
ugh,
through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watch, were so gallantly streaming.
There's Boehm.
And rockets red glare.
Oh!
That our flag was still there.
Yikes.
Oof.
Cringe.
Look at everybody. Oof.
Who say does that star sprinkle banner yet wave for the
Oh. She's having her appendix removed.
And the home of the brave.
Oh, man.
Wow. Wow.
If I were smart, I'd say thank you and leave.
Yeah. You know, that's not bad if you're doing the Star Spangled Banner for a 4A softball championship in Pennsylvania for high school baseball. The Major League Baseball Home Run Derby on ESPN on a Monday night, where millions of Americans are watching America's pastime and sluggers hit out fastballs at record rates. I'm going to go D-. Not a good look. But you know what, though? I mean, what's the most iconic national anthem rendition you've ever heard? I mean, people always think of Whitney Houston, Super Bowl 25, I think, 1990, 1991, Bills Giants, that's up there. There's a few others you probably can come up with. But you're always going to be in that position where it's more likely, I think, for it to go bad than for it to be a legendary performance, right? Because the bar is so high.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure where she came from or how they selected her. Maybe she won a raffle.
I mean, she's a famous country singer.
Oh, what's her name?
Ingrid Andres.
Never heard of her.
Ingrid.
Let me guess.
Ingrid.
Nashville, Tennessee.
I have no idea, but boy. Roseanne, that was on purpose. That was the worst. But also, who was the runner?
Carl Lewis.
Carl Lewis. His might have been the worst.
I mean, locally, I would say my friend Lauren Hart. But nationally, I do think Whitney Houston would be right up there.
Yeah. Yeah, Whitney's is pretty iconic.
Did she roar?
Stop. I think anybody's... I think this...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's Tim Scott's initial reaction after having his first girlfriend.
Sorry. MSNBC's Joy Reid. Yes, she was on TV last night. She said, speaking of he roared, she said that minorities in the GOP take the humiliation from Donald Trump.
Minority Account.
You know what she's trying to say here, right?
That basically Byron Donalds, Tim Scott, and other females and guys like Vivek Ramaswamy were all pawns and never had a shot?
Amber Rose is black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes, all of
she
these.
Said in her speech that she is, her mom is black, her dad is white.
Okay, just making sure.
She has a tattoo on her forehead, does she not?
To be honest with you, I don't.
She's from Philadelphia.
I have no idea who she is.
Yeah, I have very little background on her. I remember Dawn saying last week she's a local person.
Yeah, South Philadelphia.
Okay,
up here.
This is what Joy Reid said last night. Cut 31.
Nasty.
So go.
Part of the price of MAGA dumb, particularly if you are a person of color, is to take the humiliation. You know, I mean, Nikki Haley was not even invited. She was ostentatiously disinvited from this convention. Yet she still said, "I pledge all my delegates to Trump." This guy,
and then they reversed it.
And they reversed it.
And then they did invite her again.
Tim Scott humiliated himself daily, and then has continued to do so on this stage. I'm stunned and sad for him in the display he just did. But the humiliation of Tim Scott is part of the game, and it's part of the price. Marco Rubio has been allowing himself to be humiliated by Donald Trump since he drank the tiny water bottle. Like, he's never going to stop letting Trump humiliate him. Allowing yourself to take the humiliation from Donald Trump is part of the price of being part of his army. And he enjoys I think people keep forgetting the character of the man. I mean, he does enjoy humiliating these people and making them jump through hoops. I mean, Byron Donalds was no more going to be his vice president, mm-hmm. than he was going to be speaker. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, mm-hmm. The Texas congressman admitted, mm-hmm. that he only placed his name in nomination because he was black and there had been a black nominee that Hakeem Jeffries was nominated on the other side. It's just, I am sad for the folks who are willing to take this kind of abuse, mm-hmm. because it's community-wide abuse, mm-hmm. because it is an abuse of these communities to make people walk the plank knowing none of these people were ever going to be picked.
Okay, so you want to talk about abuse of communities, Joy? How comes the Democrats always pander to the black people and never do anything for them? And how offensive is it if you are a black man or woman listening to Joy Reid speak? And how offensive is it that she doesn't think you're capable of being a free-thinking American and you don't have to automatically align with the left based on your skin color? That's what Joy Reid is saying. She's throwing out two words that I will not repeat on this air because they're probably offensive words and I don't want to say them. But she's calling Byron Donalds and Tim Scott a you-know-what. That's what she's doing. And she's playing the race card. And for Nikki Haley, by the way, Nikki Haley stayed in the race longer than anybody else when she should have probably stepped aside. And even though she did step aside, she still hasn't really embraced Trump as the nominee to the extent other people have. So this pretty much summed up Joy Reid there for you.
Frank Figluzzi was on MSNBC. You know, we were talking about the Secret Service, yeah. and their botched effort, I believe. There should be some answers. Frank Figluzzi says that the Secret Service is stretched way too thin. So there's...
Boy.
I mean, the excuses are just amazing here.
How can such a high priority result in a agency being stretched too thin?
He's the NBC News national security analyst, by the way. Cut 30, Phil, go.
So I'm not going to repeat the secretary's questions because they are the obvious ones, and he's absolutely right, and that should all be covered by the independent investigation. Obviously, it falls into two buckets there with regard to the site itself. If it's deemed a threat, it's within range, it's an elevated stage for a bad actor. Why was it not the Secret Service's responsibility inside their perimeter? And then obviously the second question, if indeed they delegated this to the local or state police, what was the cause of the horrible failure there? But I have to tell you, I'm into a much larger question, which is I'm all about finding root causes and moving on in a better way. I was chief inspector of the FBI for a brief time during my 25-year career. That meant I investigated and oversaw investigations of any use of deadly force by an FBI agent and things like this. So what are they going to look for root causes? Are we going to hear that the service is stretched way too thinly? I fear the answer is yes, and I think it's been that way for a very long time. I think we're going to find that it's become, mm-hmm. the norm to rely on local police officers for these open air rallies, even for closed rallies. You know, RNC right now, Milwaukee, did you know there are over 100 out of state police departments represented right now? You'll see badges and patches from Ohio and Tennessee and Florida. That happens routinely, and so that over-reliance on local police needs to get looked at. The other thing that has to be looked at is we're forgetting the Secret Service has a host of other things to do. They are still investigating stuff they did when they were part of the Treasury Department years ago before 9/11. They do bad checks and financial instruments and counterfeit currency around the world. They do cyber crimes. Why? So, you know, I heard someone say, hey, the service needs 500 more agents tomorrow. You know, they have them. They're investigating mortgage fraud. That needs to be examined.
Why are they doing it? Like, their most important job should be protecting the president.
Correct.
and the front runner.
Yeah. Current president, former president,
yes.
Vice president. You know, why can't the Philadelphia Parking Authority be stretched too thin? Yet the Secret Services? What are we doing here? They need 500 more agents?
That's a great point.
Did the defund the police movement impact the Secret Service? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And what happened to the 87,000 IRS agents? Well, shouldn't they be handling some of the financial stuff? Anyway.
That's what I got, buddy.
That's all I got, too. I'm going to take a nap. Dawn Show coming up in 17 minutes. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show at 10 o'clock, as well as a Tuesday edition of Today in Music History. Stay tuned. We're back after this. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The feds looking at the investigation into the assassin wannabe here in Pennsylvania, learning some new details about him, as well as what went wrong, and more of an exact timeline looking at that, and then zooming out looking nationally. I'll take you inside the Amber Rose speech, why I think it's critical and why it was a theme last night, as well as Joy Reid was disgusting in what she said about the South Philadelphia native Amber Rose. Beth Ann Rossick, I believe, is coming in, Broad and Liberty. She has been investigating this TikTok situation in Malvern in the suburban schools, looking into that. So she's going to give us the very latest. We'll update you. So much local and a personal story about a story that I covered that's making history today. So we'll get into all of it live and local.
Okay.
By the way, for those on YouTube, Dawn broadcast her show on YouTube as well. So if you're watching on YouTube, just hit the, there's like an alert thing that every time we go live, it dings, mm-hmm. and then it alerts you whenever we're live. So Dawn is live on YouTube too from 10 to noon. So
okay.
Make sure you're doing that.
Looking forward to that. And now we wrap up with what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today, July 16th, we celebrate the birthday of Stuart Copeland from The Police, who's now 72. And we also lost John Lord from Deep Purple on this day in 2012. And Harry Chapin as well in 1981. Singles include Sex by Motley Crue in 2012. And Kingdom Come by Sabaton in 2021. By the way, they were great opening for Judas Priest earlier this year. Albums include Demolition by Judas Priest in 2001 and Acquiring the Taste by Gentle Giant in 71. Also in 76, Jim Messina and Kenny Loggins break up their partnership. In 62, the Beach Boys signed to Capitol Records. In 66, Cream is formed. And by the way, Son of Cream is coming to Sellersville Theater later this year. And in 2000, Matchbox 20 was atop the singles chart. But lastly, on this day in 2019, Metallica played a worldwide tour show in Finland, drawing almost 1% of the country's population.
Wow.
The show was attended by over 55,000 people, which is pretty much normal for Metallica. But the Finland population is just over 5.5 million. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Wow. Some good data there.
A lot of good data.
A lot of numbers.
Wow.
All right. Very good. Nice work, 1%
Phillip. Of the population.
1%?
Nice.
55,000. That's like a Trump rally.
By the way, if you haven't done so yet, please go to GregStockerSucks.com, GregStockerSucks.com. And I think we're like $100 because somebody donated $100. So I think we're like $200 away from 17,000.
Mm-hmm.
So please, all the money goes to the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation, the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation. We want to get to 20,000 by Sunday.
That's correct.
So make sure you donate if you haven't done so yet. GregSoccerSucks.com.
All right, let's find out who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter?
Richard Notaro says when Greg Soccer says he thinks Sean Farris should take over a spot, he just doesn't want to get up at 3:30 a.m. There might be a little truth in that as well.
Oh, maybe Greg Soccer is just going to wake up later and just be on the Dawn Show.
Well, could be.
You know?
We start at 6 a.m.
Greg has another full-time job that he also does that he would like to make room for.
Yeah.
We're all busy.
And then when Greg gets done working, he goes home.
He roars!
And he roars.
Oh, my God.
That was good. That's Greg reading story time.
That's
to
right.
His toddler.
To his little boy. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. Hopefully Tim Scott's cooling off today and tallying off. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.